thank everybody for coming out and sticking around with the break between the talk. I realize my talk's going to be probably a little bit different than some of the other talks, if we have any others left at the end of the after that. So we know that there are a lot of problems with, there are things we need to improve on the accuracy and precision of measurements we take in the field for greenhouse gas emissions. But also another point, spot that we need to improve our estimations are maybe what is coming off of our agricultural streams, because we have a lot of nutrients moving into this this area that is anaerobic and aerobic, and so we're attempting to do that. So this is a side project of my dissertation, and one thing we're trying to do there is measure greenhouse gases from systems to remove nitrate from tile drainage through denitrification. But the rates we get off these, it's hard to know what would that tile water, if it makes it to the stream, what are the emissions that are actually coming from the stream? Because that would really tell us whether these practices are increasing or decreasing to overall greenhouse gas emissions. So as most of you probably know, agriculture is responsible for close to 60% of nitrous oxide emissions and about half of methane emissions. Majority of the methane emissions are from livestock production. And currently, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change estimates nitrous oxide emissions from streams through its indirect emission protocol, and they cite that two-thirds of the uncertainty with nitrous oxide emissions globally are associated with these indirect emissions, so rivers being part of them. The other two parts would be estuaries and some groundwater. And then methane emissions are often left out completely from these budgets. And the old kind of school of thought was that these streams are aerobic enough to where there shouldn't be that many methane emissions. But methane's pretty interesting. And so we have recent literature out of Minnesota that has found that the IPCC may be underestimating nitrous oxide emissions by 3 to 9 times. And so we're in a good area in central Iowa with row crop agriculture to really see if these ag streams are emitting that much. And kind of as I touched on before, these streams have potential for hot spots and hot moments of emissions. So we have elevated dissolved concentrations of nitrous oxide coming out of our tiles. And then we also have kind of areas like this in the picture where we've had a lot of sediment that is flowing through these streams. And when it hits these areas, there's potential for these to be high carbon and very anaerobic to maybe have some of these productions. And this also continues down into the, into the stream and then what kind of comes out. So we've devised, a couple. We're using chamber measurements, so they're often used in wetlands, and they've been used a couple times to also float on streams. So I'm going to get to that here in a minute, but first I'm going to talk about our watershed that we're studying. So Bear Creek is located in north central Iowa and is a HUC 12 watershed. It's a second order stream, and it is about 87% in row crop agriculture. The other land area, there's the small town of Roland, and then some pasture land. And right before you enter the South Skunk River down here, it is a bit forested. There has been extensive work on Bear Creek to introduce riparian buffers over the past 20 years. So it's an interesting place to work because we do have a lot of data on it, and so hopefully we can integrate past data with what we're collecting now. So the main objectives were to measure greenhouse gas fluxes from 4 locations on Bear Creek, examine some of the environmental parameters that may be acting as drivers, and then compare to the IPCC's estimations. So I'm going to present some of my preliminary data today, and using this floating chamber methodology. So we constructed our chambers out of plastic buckets. We put foam board around them, and then there's actually a 5-milliliter lip that sits into the stream. So we have a seal with the stream surface, but it's also vented to the atmosphere. So as the water is moving by and emitting gases, we are collecting that accumulation of flux. So there may be some concern with the lip going below the surface because increased turbidity. So I've only found one paper that has looked at this, and they had a 6 milliliter lip. And so I'm going to be curious to maybe do some more experience on if the lip is just barely infiltrating, how that actually would affect the amount of release you would get, because if you have dissolved gases in the stream and it hits something, you know, is that increasing or decreasing the flux? So we've also equipped this with an auto sampler, and we lower these down from a bridge. This way we don't disturb the sediment. And also if you try and deploy these from the side of the stream, they all want to kind of swing back to the side. So this way we can get hopefully the entire stream channel. So we looked at four different sites. Sites 1, 2, and 3 are in the top of the watershed, and they are... It's much more of a drainage ditch type atmosphere in this area. And then site 4 is much more wooded, like this this picture here. So we sample every week. We calculate our fluxes using the HMR package in R, which uses a combination of the Hutchinson-Moser method along with linear regression. And we also collect other dissolved parameters, including or other environmental parameters, including dissolved gases. We looked at nitrate. We collect flow every time we sample, and turbidity. One thing we have a grant in right now, hopefully to get a little more funding, but currently we only have continuous flow at site 4. So the flow data I will show here in a minute. Just remember that is for site 4. So the peaks might be a little off from the other sites. But I first also wanted to touch on nitrate concentrations in Bear Creek, because that is the big thing with a lot of these agricultural streams, is we're trying to reduce the amount of nitrate that's making it into them. So for those who aren't familiar, with Central, we're heavily tile drained, and so the majority of the tile drains in Bear Creek are located at sites 1 through 3 here. And we see concentrations change with rain events, and oftentimes we see after a rain event or a snowmelt event like this, we will see a dilution in the concentration and then the rebound. And I also just want you to note that site 4 is almost always lower in concentration than the other three sites. So if we look at our nitrous oxide fluxes that we have coming off of the streams, these are on an aerial basis, just like it would be on the soil on a soil surface, and we at times can see quite a bit, but we haven't seen a great pattern emerge. So clearly the sites with that are in the headwaters have higher fluxes more often, and our site that's further down it doesn't really see as many fluxes, and then there might be something with after a rain event and more tile drains start flowing, we see a higher flux and then it come back down, and then this one again, since this is a site 4 flow data, this peak might be over here slightly, so after we get the dilution coming down, we might see more nitrous oxide coming off the surface. So there are a lot of different ways nitrous oxide could be produced in these streams. We could be having denitrification going on in the channel itself. There could be dissolved nitrous oxide being released through the surface. It could also be happening in the sediment. So we're really trying to hopefully figure out where things might be coming from in the future. So if we look at dissolved nitrous oxide, we can see that, again, dissolved is usually lowest at that site 4, but it doesn't exactly match up with our highest nitrous oxide fluxes. So site 2 frequently has one of the higher nitrous oxide fluxes off of the surface, but we look at the dissolved, a lot of times it's actually kind of down around where site 4 is. So we're hoping to kind of tease some of this stuff out, but right now we don't have a clear relationship between dissolved nitrous oxide and emissions off of the surface. If we look at this in terms of load, so what I did here is we take the width of the stream and we know the length, so we can get a rough surface area. And you have to do this every time you go out, because as the stream goes up, the width will change, so your surface area is going to be changing with your fluxes. So I've done, it's probably a rough calculation because we only have one width point, and we have to assume that it's the same between sites, but this is the best we're going to get for our estimate. And then if you do the IPCC Tier 1 protocol for indirect emissions for the river, so use that EF5R factor, right now we are seeing a larger emission from our direct measurements here at the stream total than the estimation. However, it's important to know that I've scaled this for the first 175 days. So the IPCC's equation is for, you have your nitrogen inputs, what is being leached into the river, and then your estimation of how much is coming off there. And so I divided it out. And so if we have higher fluxes from now to the end of the year, from September to the end of the year, this could either be a lot higher at the end of the year, or if those fluxes drop off towards the end of the year, we might be closer to the average. So, but this is kind of our best guess here. And I'm going to briefly touch on methane. With methane, we have seen some pretty high fluxes, and they're usually right on the flow events. There's a little more variation than kind of is displayed here because of these large fluxes that are kind of skewing things. And I did put a break between 10 or 8 and 10 milligrams here. So we're working, hopefully, we want to put out some seepage collars in the stream to see if we can measure what is coming off the bottom of the stream, or if maybe this processing is going on in the stream when we have high sediment load with flow events in the stream. That's a thought that we want to look into more with our data. Now, however, I did not quantify methane because we also did a brief experiment. We did an experiment for one day where we sampled every 4 hours for 24 hours to see if there was a diurnal variation. And so in these streams, oftentimes we can get high algae production where our dissolved oxygens are reaching really high levels during the day when photosynthesis is occurring, and then at night when respiration is occurring, our dissolved oxygen is dropping really low. So there might be potential for a higher methane release when we have those low DO numbers. So again, it would be your dissolved oxygen would be low here, increase during the day, and then come back down. So we have not found a single parameter that's really acting as a driver for these. Nitrous oxide fluxes appear to be greatest with in areas with the highest intensity of tile drains. And then we really need to, before we can quantify anything, we really need to see if there's that large pattern with methane, because I guess that means I'm going to have to be out sampling at a lot of different times. So thanks. Yeah, I would. I'd love to talk about the methodology and whether kind of the lip, that is a concern of mine, would disturb the stream enough to increase fluxes. Yeah. They hold pretty well, except during high flow events. They might. So during high flow events, if we add just a little bit of weight to the top of these, it keeps it down. So you might be able to try something like that, or maybe something that hung from the chamber and held it down in contact with the surface a little better.